just at the end.
He's on fire!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast. They told me to shorten up the intro, so I'll try to be as quickly as possible. The only podcast in which we do things differently. Here we go. I got the guys here with me. Start with Birthday Bobby. How you doing?
Hell yeah.
Doing good, man. Doing good. Went from my Jordan year to my Kobe year. Spent some time in Boston. Went to the mall the next day. Celtics caught a dub. I'm going to the game on Wednesday. It was a good weekend, man. Touched grass, disconnected. It was good.
Did you buy the mall?
What you mean?
Like, how many bags you walk out with?
Oh, three.
Any chance type shit. I feel it. Big Benji.
Yeah, credit card was definitely swiping.
Auntie Annie's?
Yeah. Ruby Thai.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Mall Chinese food. Come on.
Oh, I thought that was like the Roof Chris of Thai food. This nigga said mall Chinese food. All right, never mind.
Ruby Thai is what they call y'all's Panda Express?
Nah, Panda Express also exists. Sarku Japan, shout out to Sarku Japan. We got options.
That's a top China buffet. That's what that is.
Mango chicken. Whew. Butter.
Yeah, put down there what they call the Panda Express in your area. Like, you know, a American Express Panda, you know, just you know what I'm talking about. The mall Chinese place. What do they call that in your area?
Bourbon.
Anything that you want to take into your 24th year? Mamba mentality type shit. You want to stop passing the ball as much?
I guess just be confident in myself, man. I feel like I've accomplished a lot leading up to this year. Just flexing that a little bit more and be more proud of the things that I've done, you know?
Yeah. You say you want to flex on it this year. Okay.
Yeah, wait till the IG post come out in a couple months, man. I'll buy my new car.
Come on, oh, shit.
You already flexing on niggas. Don't think I forgot that tweet.
This is sold from two apartments later.
Yeah, drop it. Oh, my God. Clips from two apartments ago.
Two apartments ago.
Damn, dude. All right.
I got Damo here with me. Damo, how you doing today? FaZe Damo, how you doing?
Hey, FaZe up type shit. I've been good, man. I've been good. Life's good. Life's great. Found out I'm having another daughter. We picked a name. Yeah.
Can you say the name or you want to keep a secret?
Candace.
Oh, Cadence.
Okay.
Cadence. I spelled it wrong. When I put the registry out, I spelled the name wrong. That was not the way my girl wanted to spell it. I was like, damn, okay, my bad. But yeah, so that's why you thought Candace.
Yeah. Why you didn't do a gender reveal like on Twitter?
I don't even know where to begin to do some shit like that, nor do I want to. I'm okay with that.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Now, last question. Do you feel like you'll be one of those people that continues to try until you get a boy?
I told my girl, I always told her, like, I wanted three kids, but I don't think I'm trying for a boy. I just said I want three kids.
Okay. So one more.
I got one more shot. I'm going to shoot that bitch relatively soon.
Okay. Hello?
Excuse me. It's relatively sooner than later, man. Yeah, I'm trying to keep them all lined up. I told my girl, niggas that I was lying about redoing the BBB method. Nigga, I'm dead serious. I'm keeping these close. I'm keeping them close.
I'm gonna move to the fattest hill on the mountain. Fattest
boy,
hill.
Oh boy.
We running laps.
All right. Damo doesn't like money. Nah, nigga. It's not about not liking money. It's about thinking big picture.
I think it's because he likes money.
I feel like when you want to be done, you want to be done. You don't want to have one and then know. Oh, I got 11 years later, I'll be done with this one. I can feel it. Once we get started, cut the faucet.
Let's go.
Yeah, cut the faucet on, gang, and then shut it off. Shut it off.
Facts. Hey, after three, I promise you, I might get circumcised. Low key.
Wait.
Not circumcised. A vasectomy.
Topics, come on, bro. Let's
oh, YouTube is gonna hate that they missed this.
Oh my god. Oh man.
This is what you wanted.
All right, babe. Time to cut my dick. the fuck?
This was free. I miss hearing about circumcisions. Like,
Shit. YouTube is gonna hate this. Okay. Inside joke of death. Not fazed by anything. Sage, how you doing? I don't have too much for you. Besides,
yeah, pretty boring guy. But this boring dude, just, you know, typical streamer man shit. Who the fuck calling me? All right, anyway, just streaming. Been streaming, been working. I've developed a new hatred for basketball, though. So
thanks. Let's talk.
Yeah, he's had a bad basketball.
Don't like basketball.
I 100% agree. Listen, if you are new to this and you want to be true to this, make sure that join button, make sure that like button, make sure that subscribe button, make sure that circumcision button. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. And shouts out, as always, to the audio listeners. I love you.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Love when you leave 5-star reviews.
Facts.
Do you have one for me?
I don't think there's a new one.
I got one. I'm looking at one, actually, right now.
Okay.
This is from Pretty Boy Tank, and such a weird name. Before I watched Souls, I was nothing. A loser, you could say. One day, my homie said, "Hey, you watch B-Souls?" I said, "No." So he turned on predicting the 2024 NBA playoffs. I heard the pure emotions coming from his words. I cried deep emotional tears and realized at that very moment I could make something of myself. I turned my life around and became a very cool person and broke out of my shell. He saved me. I met B-Souls and he told me to follow my dreams and not to listen to the bitch-ass haters. Soul saved me. Thank you, Benjamin Solace. Bless B-Souls. He is our savior. He saved me from living life as a loser.
Damn.
Yeah.
Was that the nigga that left that paragraph from the chat?
That had to have been. I was about to say, that had to have been.
I'm glad I could impact the youth, man.
I know, that's right.
Sound like a hog right men. There.
I don't know.
I feel like I'm the inspiration to the dumbasses.
We're grown men. I don't know. Listen, man, I've been waiting to get into some ball.
I hate that sound too.
This is probably my favorite part of the show. Hot take or hot ass. We need to make a drop for this. Kelly Oubre, who is probably the most invincible NBA player, and we just don't talk about it enough, got hit by a car again, right?
Again?
He got hit by a car on the bike, and then he got hit by a car recently too, again.
So. The hit and run. Wasn't it a hit and run?
Yeah, hit and run. Yeah, but
again,
again. I know. It just almost seems like he's a car magnet. Has this take on Jalen Brunson dropping 47 on the Sixers the other day?
Brunson's been going after slow first two games of this series. What do you think has allowed him to get in the rhythm?
34 shots. I mean, yeah, he's a great player. Great, great player. I love playing against him. I love his game. You know, he has a lot of fundamentals and skill set to his game. But, you know, anybody shoots 34 shots that has skill, and that's a great player. You know, they're going to be able to do well. And especially you get screens, you know, you're getting mismatches, you're trying to find the right matchups and things like that. Like, he's a great player. He's going to capitalize on those things. But, yeah, I mean, it's just – it was due to happen, obviously. You know, JB is a great player. He's been playing well, doing this all year long. So just because I say he shot 34 shots doesn't mean he's going to stop shooting them. That's what you need him to do. So, but at the end of the day, he's just playing his groove. Tibbs is doing a good job of putting him in positions to, you know, get to his left hand and, you know, get into the paint.
Hot take or hot ass?
I don't even know what the take was. But go ahead, Demo.
I say hot take. That nigga's a sore loser like me. 34 shots? That's what I would have said. That's me. That's a me answer. I'm going to say hot take. I like it.
Is it possible that you could score 30? If you give an NBA player that many shot attempts, they're going to score that many points?
They should. Any high-skilled NBA player, you give them 34 shots, they better have 40. They better have 50. Like, that's – he was not lying.
I'd hope they at least had 35. Yeah. I'd at least pray to God you have 35. So,
yeah, I think like 35, 37 is the line if you're not going to the line at all. So I'm gonna still say it's hot ass though, because I never liked that whole shots argument. Like, what did he shoot from the field? How many free throws did he have? Like, that's what matters to me.
Man. I mean, if he had 34 shots, finished with 47 points, he better not have had a lot of fucking free throws. Cause that'd been crazy.
I'm just saying. Just tell me the field goal percentage or what he shot from the field, dog. Like, give me the fraction. Because if he shot 34 shots right now, he made 17 or 18 of them. I'm not about to cook someone for shooting over 50% from the field. Why?
Yes.
And I will say,
he shot 53% from the field, 18 for 34.
So that's what I'm saying. What's the point of even bringing that up?
To suck.
I get it.
Tip torture is wild, but it makes sense though. I mean, again, 34 shots, nigga. You should be up there. I mean, last game on 27 shots, he had 39. Like, again, shot 48% from the field. Shot relatively right. The game before that, 29 shots and only 24. Now that game, he shot 28%.
Oh no!
So that'd be like one of the key ones. But yeah, when you shoot a lot, you are expected to have solid numbers. You should. That's a given.
Kelly Oberer's career high field goal attempts in a game is 27. Okay. And he scored 28.
Awesome. How many free throws?
He says nobody has all that.
At the I end, of you the did. Day, my bad. Damn.
At the end of the day, in the beginning of the night,
Jesus Christ.
If he gets 34 shot attempts, he's not scoring 47 points, almost 50 points.
But he's not one of the skilled ones, though. Like you said, if you have that level of skill, which he don't got, Jalen Brunson level of skill.
Is that what you think? Like, he doesn't have...
No, he doesn't have Jalen Brunson. Yeah, he does not have Jalen Brunson's level of offensive skill. Like, that's... It's true.
Sorry, Kelly. I was trying to be on your side, gang, but apparently you are not skilled.
I mean, that was the preference he... I mean, that's the preference he made in his statement. When you got a player of that skill level that's good, like Jalen Brunson, he's that good, and he gets 34 shots, he should get that. Now, a nigga like myself, Kelly Oubre, who's been hit by two different niggas' baby mamas, I don't have that level of skill. So if I shoot 28 shots, I should have. I mean, hey, if I get 29 points, I'm happy.
Fair enough. Let's go on to the next one. Hot take or hot ass? Oh, actually, I think this is just a continuation of it. Jared Wise says, thought it was crazy that Brunson put up 45 points and 10 assists in a playoff game when his team scored under 100 points. Turned out that was the first time that happened in NBA history. Damn. I think it's better than MJ.
That somebody put up 45 and 10 specifically under 100 points?
In a playoff? That is a lot of points generated relative to how many a team scored. Jeez.
There was
a run in that game where Jalen Brunson was just unstoppable. He had like this one-legged floater from the free throw line, off leg. That shit was...
Sound like him. I'm about to say, I don't see the negative there.
LeBron,
like he a hooper.
All right, I actually got another one. So this is Frank Michael Smith. The last 3 minutes and 24 seconds of Clippers Mavericks took 22 minutes of real time. We don't need to suck the life out of the end of games. We have a proven alternative. Adopt the Elam ending. For those unfamiliar, a target score is chosen in the fourth quarter. The first team to reach it wins. Fouling, stalling, and passive play are all completely eliminated. The NBA tested it in the All-Star game. So is it hot take or hot ass to get to that, to implement that type of scoring fourth quarterness in NBA games?
I'm gonna go hot ass. I think at the end of the day, if a team wants to play on some like asshole levels of I'm gonna foul you back. Hey, it's legal. It is what it is. They're trying to win games. You do what you got to do to get the W, man. Hack a Shaq probably was born for a lot of people, but that's how you beat Shaq, dog. So like, the end of the day, as annoying as it can be for the consumer at times, it is the optimal way the sport is played. I know the solution would be target score or whatever, but I feel like that's just a somewhat entirely different game And I'm not going to say it throw you off entirely, but I feel like it's definitely a different game. It's kind of like a mini game in an NBA game. And at that point, bro, skill issue, bro. And lastly, yeah, the refs and shit, now they can speed it the fuck up for sure.
Yeah, hard ass, bro. Some things don't need to be changed, even though it's a bad thing. I feel like that would change the core of what a basketball game would even be at this point. Especially if it's just the NBA and he's not recommending it for college level or high school level. Like, that would be such a big, big change. I get it. I'm for it being progressive, but nah, I'm good. I'm good off that.
Yeah, I'm going hot ass. Retweet what these niggas said.
Yeah, super, super duper hot ass. I'm not going to lie. Super duper mega booty cheeks. Don't even do that. Listen, we're going to get into cutting up Kevin Durant in 2.5 seconds, but we got to talk about some of the things that happened in the NBA before we get there. Some people are calling Joel Embiid, even though he is battling through all these things, the injuries, the Bell's palsy, you know, his own demons. Some of him are saying that he is literally the least fun player to watch in the NBA.
Now, out of the stars or just anyone?
Out of the stars. Out of the stars, I guess.
And then Rudy Gobert, but
yeah, I was saying maybe. So, I probably still disagree.
But... And they're attributing his foul baiting and his unspoken about dirty play. Now, this is pretty graphic.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh my god.
Dun, 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 dun.
Turn off the lights in here, baby.
Ooh, shit.
Extra proud.
Larry Donald.
Oh my god. That was a foul, by the way. That one. For those that are listening on the audio side, we were watching a compilation of Embiid not only flop, but honestly put people in situations to be injured. I actually don't know another way to say this besides what looks to be intentionally injuring people in basketball plays.
You could say some of it's intentional, some of it's unintentional, but it's happening. That's what I can tell you. It is happening. Stepping on foot, falling on people.
Hitting people in the nuts. Yeah.
Curb stomp is crazy.
Yeah, curb stomping Grant Williams is actually... actually,
pretty see JB's face. He was like,
"Yeah, what the fuck?" So with that being said, and he has a bunch of gripes. We'll get into the gripes in a second. Is Joel Embiid? Should he be in the same category as like the Draymond Greens of the world and all this stuff like that?
Absolutely, that Cameroonian dirtbag is one of the most dirtiest players in the modern NBA, and niggas just let him get away with it because he plays like a 7-foot James Harden half the time. It's actually kind of amazing the shit he gets away with. He genuinely gets away with a lot of the shit Draymond does. People don't even know. People didn't know that he kicked those Knicks players in the dick twice, three times in one game. People didn't even realize it. Dirty as hell. Joel Embiid is one of the – he's already the most unethical player in the NBA right now. And you compound that with being the dirtiest player in the NBA? I don't want you playing for Team USA. How about that, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Damn.
Go back home.
Oh, wow. Okay. This is
no Gilbert.
Very, very much Gilbert.
No Gilbert.
yeah. With the Cameroonian thing. For me – I don't know if he's exactly Draymond tier for one reason only. Draymond, you could argue that's like his only purpose on the team. And I think that's a nasty argument. I think Draymond is just genuinely a great, going to be an all-time defender. But Joel Embiid, he's at least supposed to produce. He's at least supposed to fall certain ways to not injure his body. However, some of the shit is just flagrant. And y'all know me. I am the king of the duck rule. And that motherfucker does some shit where I'm like, oh. Wow, if it were Draymond, y'all insta suspension, he wouldn't be playing game four, game five. Hell no. Look, I ain't gonna lie. The most damning thing about the Knicks game when he pulls Mitchell Robinson's foot wasn't that he pulled his foot, but Dama was alluding to it, or maybe even directly talked about that game. Dog, it was like five clips trending that day. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yo, this is the same, like, not series, chat. It's the same game? Yo, he was running it the fuck up, bro. So, do I think he has to go down as a dirty player right now? I hate putting labels on motherfuckers, but I gotta say, yeah, it's just too, it's too what the fuck is going on, gang. Like, every time somebody's getting their legs stepped on, you're literally snatching legs down. For those that don't understand how significant that is, bro, okay. So, yeah, I gotta say he's a dirty player, but I don't think he's to Draymond level only because of role on the team.
I think flopping already puts a lot of players in dangerous situations that they shouldn't be in. I think that gets multiplied when the dude's 7'1", 3'10", or however big Embiid is. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of unnecessarily dangerous situations that get multiplied because of his frame. And it would be one thing if a lot of these are accidents. We all know Joel Embiid flops. He foul baits. So a lot of this is intentional. A lot of this is done on the offensive end. And the fact that he gets effectively, like, incentivized for it with free throws, I think that's nasty. But, hey, man, get your buckets the way you get your buckets, I guess.
So
that shit is nasty, though.
That's another part of the conversation as to why that people believe that he is one of the least interesting players in the league. So the other day, or, you know, least fun players to watch in the league, the other day in the game, in the fourth quarter, he went 0-for-5 shooting, scored 1 point, but it's because of his foul baiting antics. And I'm going to sound like an old head here, but I can see why people are tired of the NBA. I tweeted out the other day. It was somebody that I think it might have been Joel, but they went for a layup. It might have been LeBron even. They went for a layup. They went for a shot. Foul call didn't come, and automatically they throw their hands in the air, and you know they're while the other team is running back, they're looking for a foul. They're looking for the foul, and I had to tweet it out. I was like, this is a common NBA possession, by the way. Like, that is becoming so prevalent in today's game that is actually very, very annoying. And one of the main people that do this is Joel Embiid. So I want to say, ask this question. I want to show some evidence. Is he the worst foul baiter since, I know James Harden is the name that's easy, but Trae Young, James Harden? And I want to show this because this is James Harden in 18 and some of his foul baiting. Tap.
Take the legs out, James. Oh, no, not that clip.
That's a foul on Steph Curry, I want to say.
Arm hooker.
So the question is, who's the worst foul?
Yep, baiter? There it is.
Yeah, who is Joel the worst foul baiter since this guy? Since?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah. Since, yes, peak Harden beat Joel. I'll say
Pete Carden used to just extend the fuck out of his body for no reason.
Pete Carden has to still be number one because Pete Carden
changed the game with it. He changed the game with it.
Not only does he change the game, I also think he's more slick than Joel Embiid too. Like, he'll, like, on the replays, you'll be like, oh, what the hell? But like when in motion, you're like, oh, that's a foul. Like, he's literally that damn good at it. Like, them arm hooks, again, in hindsight, rewatching them shits, you'll be like, oh, what the fuck? But like in real time, you probably were like, oh, that's a foul. Until you realize, oh, that's James Harden doing it. Yeah, it probably ain't no fucking foul. So it was, yeah, I say James Harden won. Since James, I know Trey's good bump.
Luka.
But nah, I got Joel. I think Joel, just because he's too damn big. And on top, like, he's too damn big to be doing it. So when he does it, it's just like, wow, you really are just not trying to dunk the ball right now. And I know it sounds like we're dunking on him, but the whole foul baiting thing's a real issue. Dog, Danny Green's not playing basketball anymore. Like, that's his teammate. Like, this is insane. That's the levels that this shit goes to, bro.
That's
cool. Are we watching more? Are we
going to watch more? No. Because what Say said just really got me. What you just said is very important, and it's going to transition us into something else. But ultimately, like, when Embiid does these things, it does not lead to winning basketball. And it's gonna lead me into we're gonna do a hot take of the week. It's gonna lead me into my hot take about how players handle themselves in games, because what he's been doing and Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant, what they've been doing is absolutely pissing me off. But back to Joel Embiid, These are interesting stats about him.
Oh, my God.
Joel Embiid has failed to make a shot in the fourth quarter in 21.2% of his playoff games. Again, let me read that. Joel Embiid has failed to make a shot in the fourth quarter in 21.2% of his playoff games. Not shot 21%, but failed to make a shot in 21%.
One in every
five. I'm trying to look up how many playoff games he's played. So he's played a total of 57. So roughly 21% of 57. That's like 11, 12 games. It's a lot of games. Dang.
Now, how many of those? Now, I would ask, are any of those games elimination games? Because if you're telling me he's even multiple games, one game is already crazy. But there's multiple games where you went scoreless in the fourth.
Oh, I think the one where they lost to the Hawks, he went scoreless in the fourth. Mm-hmm. In that elimination game. At least off the top of my head. But I want y'all to hear his words too, because this is again him already getting the excuse meter pumped up to me. Joel Embiid says Knicks fans taking over in Philly pisses him off. Disappointing. I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it's disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and I've never seen it. And I've been here for 10 years. Yeah, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. They've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. Yeah, it's not okay. I don't know. I can already feel the excuses pouring out of him if they lose this series.
Yeah, the only excuse I'll give him is, of course, I mean, he's not 100%, but that, nah, I'm good off that. I'm good off the hometown thing. Nah, you good. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of people that play New York. New York, when New York's good, then you understand. Laker fans will be trying on Twitter, but New York? Yeah, all right.
You know, the fans that travel the most, New York, Boston, and probably Lakers.
God forbid you're still in the East Coast. Oh, my Jesus. Like, they're right up the block. You're drunk. Yeah, New York is going to be on that.
I wanted to ask Domo, because Sage had brought it up. Joel Embiid, in some of his antics, has actually injured some people. And because we're seeing how injuries are plaguing this playoffs, which – we got to talk about that. We did. Injury. We didn't cross our fingers hard enough, I guess, because
injury, that annoys the fuck out of me, dog.
Yeah, injuries were so great this season. The lack of injuries, people playing games. But Kawhi Leonard now is definitely Ty Lue says Kawhi Leonard is definitely devastated about being sidelined indefinitely sidelined with the knee inflammation. Luka apparently has some stuff going on. Jalen Brunson has some stuff going on. We know that the Bucks are decimated. The Bucks are decimated right now.
All three hurt though, right?
Yeah, is Chris Middleton hurt?
I thought.
I think he's playing. Not at 100%.
He might be injured, but he's still active. But James
Cook. Giannis is cooked. Bobby Portis got ejected last game. Damn.
What's it called? Jamal Murray is also another one who has been cooked. But seeing is, I mean, we already got some natural injuries going on. Should players face some sort of repercussions for what appears to be intentional injuring of players? Damo.
I feel like you can review the plays, and if it's agreed upon amongst a committee that whatever act definitely could be deemed as a non-basketball play that was on purpose and hurt somebody. Yeah, I feel like there should be some actions taken, whether you hurt a teammate or an opponent.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things that I'm all for, but it's just going to be hard to find someone guilty. I think the level of finding someone guilty would have to be, one, get the player that was injured. A, keep it a bean. You think this was intentional or not? Two, the committee, whoever is voting on these things, maybe even get outside NBA sources, look at a play. Yeah, that looks pretty crazy, gang. But, yeah, I think if a merge of those factors line up, for sure, yeah, I'm all for that.
Can I just say, to Sage's point before you go, Souls, I don't think it'll be a good idea to ask, and if, like, the players involved, if they think somebody tried to hurt them, because you have a situation where a nigga don't like somebody, teams don't like each other, or niggas just upset. True. So it might be a biased act. You will feel
it shouldn't have your purpose. No. It shouldn't have no direct result. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, but a committee of five people, two of them not even basketball players, two of them just athletes in general, or former professional athletes in general, three of them basketball players, and they sit and review the play. Does it seem intentional? You keep three actual people that play ball because they can see a play and be like, okay, I can understand how this happened because you're trying to do X, Y, Z. I can understand that. They can explain that to the non-athletes. Would you have two people there that don't play basketball at all? They're just watching two humans have a fucking interaction. And they can be like, nah, he's laying on the ground and grab that nigga's knee. I don't know basketball, but there's no reason why you grab this nigga's knee.
Would do to hurt him.
Yeah, that sounds like something you would do on purpose, grabbing somebody's knee. But yeah, my fault. Go ahead,
Sos. Nah, I think that's the biggest question is just it would be hard to measure intent, like with what you said, because you're already trying to figure out how do you measure intent. Because a lot of these, like, you can make a non-basketball play without the intent to hurt someone. So to penalize people for essentially playing the game the way the rules are set up, I mean, I don't know. It would have to be blatant on some flagrant two shit. Like, in hindsight, bro, that should have been a flagrant two shit. And then let's penalize them even more. Especially if the injury is crazy, but yeah, that's just a tough thing to manage.
But you don't think that, like, a non-basketball play is already grounds for, like, all right, some discipline needs to be taken because we playing basketball. How can you commit a non-basketball play playing basketball? That's our, for me personally, that's a, it's kind of black and white there. If we can see something and deem it a non-basketball play, Draymond punching, what was it, Nurkic in the face? That's a non-basketball play. Even if you didn't mean to punch Nurkic in the face, let's get away with just swinging our arms wildly on the court next to other athletes. You were just in the play with him. Why am I turning and doing a whole 180 swinging my fist? That's a non-basketball play.
No, I feel you on that. It's just like, let's say if someone's reaching and you do the flail up and you happen to hit someone's eye, like, I just don't think. Like, you unintentionally hurt someone, but you were still kind of making a basketball play because you were trying to get to the line. I don't know. It's a tough line to cross, in my opinion. But
get rid of them dumbass rules to begin with, but they technically have. They just are asset enforcing it technically.
I don't know. I think it's also weird. We could talk about what the league can do and all this stuff like that. That shit is weird, Joel. That shit is weird. I'm not even really trying to get into the differences between what you and Draymond do, because what Draymond does is weird too. I just saw a compilation of you going straight for niggas' knees. I just saw you going at people's feet, stomping on their feet hard, looking intentional. Like, what I saw you do was very much, I'm trying to cause real injury, and not quote unquote pain. You know, Draymond slapped somebody in the face, hit somebody in the nuts. Still wrong. Wholeheartedly believe it's still totally wrong. But that's a difference in you diving at somebody's knees. You are 300 pounds. You can't do that. You cannot. You literally, you cannot do that. That to me is fucking outrageous.
I just didn't envision Joel Embiid.
Oh,
damn, is he
limping? Yeah, Zinger hurt his ankle. I don't think he cooked, but that boy is not. He ain't running.
I just didn't envision him to be.
Oh, he might be cooked. I just looked at him.
Yeah, non-contact injury like that.
Hold on. Y'all know I'm the take it easy guy, but
I did not mean to. Yeah, the way he's reacting to. Yeah, I did not mean to interrupt you. So it was just, we literally were talking about niggas getting
pray for the nigga. That looked like a. I don't even want to say what I'm thinking, bro, but that look like, damn. Praise for it.
Haley Van Lith got exposed in the finals and transferred schools because she ran from the smoke, ended up at a new school, and got a new partnership. They be saying white women be failing up, man. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just talking shit.
So how many people are going to see that Joel clip and be like, oh, yeah, this generation's soft now?
Well, I want to talk about how soft this generation is, Sage. I'm glad you said
it. W segue.
So the Suns got swept.
I tried to tell y'all, man. Look, Laker pack is Laker pack because of me, Damo, and fans alike. I told y'all in hindsight, Them niggas getting swept is crazy. Continue.
Now, we can talk about the series and, you know, what happened and who played well, what. I think there are some major, major, major takeaways from that series. I want to go down that rabbit hole. But I hate that we have to start so negatively. I really hate that we have to start so negatively. The excuses coming out of the Phoenix camp are disgusting. They are absolutely disgusting. I'm seeing Kevin Durant on the timeline now saying that he never felt comfortable with his role in Phoenix's offense alongside Devin Booker and Bradley Beal this season. This is some quotes. Those sources said Durant had persistent issues with the offense, feeling that he was being relegated to the corner far too often and not having the proper designs to play to his strengths as the offense was built around pick and rolls. I'm hearing those excuses. I'm hearing excuses about Frank Vogel. Did y'all see the Frank Vogel stuff?
I seen the Frank Vogel stuff.
Shocker. The him yelling in the locker room shit?
Frank Vogel yelled so much that his voice could be heard outside the locker room after the loss to the Clippers on April 9th. Suns players weren't buying it. The outburst seemed forced and out of character in their eyes. Vogel's eruption left players rolling their eyes. One player even told The Athletic that he had to keep from laughing.
That was Bradley Beal.
Frank got rings. Bradley Beal got dings.
I already got my hot take, man.
I just want to hear from because I'm ready to cook a lot of these young players. Because D'Lo, you another motherfucker, but we can smoke the KD pack right now.
Not even as a Laker fan, yo. That D'Lo clip post pop.
We're going to play it. We're going to play it.
Hey, that's an awful clip. For me, I'll just say, so the subject is players being soft or just Suns specifically?
Well, the Suns. Let's get into
it. Okay, so starting off with the Suns, first things first, I'm going to come out with a micro hot take. This is my hot take of the pod, but it was a hot take about Kevin Durant specifically. As the guy that people say, oh, yeah, Sage is a fan of Kevin Durant, and I surely am. Dog, B-Souls, I got to check one of your hot takes of the week that you had a while back when you said KD's low-key up there with Curry and Braun longevity. Nope, no, he's not. And I thought I didn't necessarily agree with it at the time, but here's why. When I'm looking at Kevin Durant's longevity, cool. He's consistently a good player throughout his tenure. He was even good in this series. But my thing is, Curry, way later, way past his prime into his career, averaged fucking 30 and then got a chip. Braun, way past his prime, bad defender Braun, got a fucking chip, made the conference finals, hooping out of his motherfucking ass. With Kevin Durant, on literal proclaimed super teams, and we'll talk about that later on my other hot take, but on literal proclaimed super teams, we're just accustomed to him being out the first round, dog. I'm not going to lie. I'm not saying that he is a bad scorer. I'm not saying that he fell off a cliff. I'm not calling him like Chris Paul of today, but I think when we are using the word, when we're talking about all-time longevity, he's not on that level, and that's fine. I don't think he's like at literally LeBron being number one, Curry probably being somewhere in the 5 or the 10. I don't think that's the case anymore, and I know that's like a weird take to make, but that's the take that I'm dying on, bro. I don't think he's on that level at this point in his career. That's perfectly fine. And speaking of Curry, just play with him, bro. I ain't gonna lie. And now it already makes sense. You've talked about time in and time out that you don't like the situation in Brooklyn. You don't like the situation in OKC. You don't like the situation in Phoenix now. And you've asked for two out of three. All right, you know what the one situation you did like? Playing with Steph Curry. Now Curry's on a bad team any fucking way. Not gonna lie, mutual works for both. Send them niggas Kuminga, Moody, but not Pods. I ain't gonna lie, that's wildin'. But like whatever the fuck, young player, if it gotta be Pods, be Pods. Fuck it. Bring Curry and KD back on the same court. Everybody's happy. He's unhappy there again. Now we know what the consistent denominator is. But go ahead, one of y'all.
I'm gonna just say, man, I don't even think this is a hot take now that I'm thinking about it. If Phoenix fires Frank Vogel, shame on them, bro. If Phoenix fires Frank Vogel, shame on them. Because literally, he was set up from the jump. Bro's a defensive coach. He has been a defensive coach since Indiana. Last time he won a championship, it was because of defense. You gave him no defensive assets to work with. and built a team to outscore motherfuckers and build an offensive firepower ass team. And you, instead of hiring a Mike D'Antoni, you hired Frank Vogel for the job. And now that he couldn't get this core, this team, to this NBA Finals winning level because of the bullshit shit that y'all tried to pull off trying to build this team with no point guard, no depth, building around injury-prone players. Now Frank Vogel is going to be the guy that gets scapegoated and possibly lose his job for what? Nothing. You gave him nothing to work with. And I understand that seems crazy to say when I tell you that a coach has KD, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, but this is not 2007 anymore. This is not 2008. It is more than just a big three. And even back then, I would argue it wasn't even just about the big three back then. It is about building your whole personnel, your whole roster from top to bottom, and Frank Vogel got hoed from the jump.
Well, so. you know he's going to be pretty much out of there. There's reports from Chris Haynes. The Suns front office declined to add a point guard to the roster. He says, quote, Frank Vogel wanted a point guard on the roster, and the front office believed that bringing a point guard over would take the ball out of the hands of Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. There's also conversations about the involvement of this new owner. Suns source says Matt Ishiba has no idea what he's doing. It's like Looney Tunes around here. This is a quote. It felt unstable since Ishiba arrived. I think he's the owner of GM or whatever. He's a good guy and everything, I think, but he's just very involved. I know he played college basketball, but I venture to say he has no clue with what's going on. He's just making a lot of bad decisions. And then you couple that with, and again, I'm about to be ready to take the hell off. Bradley Beal leaving the court. I think a lot of people saw this and were just done. Bradley Beal is leaving the court, seemingly slaps Frank Vogel's hands, slaps it away, daps up everybody else on the coaching staff. But it is clear as day that he slaps Frank Vogel's hand dismissively, like, get that shit out of here. Bradley Beal does this to a championship coach. Bradley Beal just came from Washington.
I want to apologize to Jaylen Brown, by the way, for wanting Bradley Beal over him this summer.
Yeah, you are indeed disgusting. Yeah. But nah.
And Dame, to be honest with you. My bad, JB.
I apologize. I said he was the one that I was saying bring to Golden State. I apologize for that, too.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, nigga, I knew you was a loser, so I ain't got to apologize.
I wasn't too big on a Beal to either one, so fair enough. But, I want to reiterate something you said, and I don't care if it's the casual thing to point out. Obviously, what Beal did was disrespectful, but it's just sad it's going to be Frank Vogel. And again, we're having a conversation about coaches, players, and ignoring the front office. Dog, them niggas said, we don't want a point guard because it will take the ball out of our scorer's hands. That may be the most backward shit I've heard a front office say ever since when LeBron first came to the Lakers, and they was like, need more playmakers. That is the most backward shit. And Domo, you remember that. I'm not saying this like that may be the most backward shit. These niggas said, okay, we got KD, Booker, and Beal. We don't want a point guard taking the ball out the hands, though. That's so fucking dumb. That's just unbelievably dumb. That's incompetence. And the idea that's going to go to Frank Vogel, a defensive coach, as Souls mentioned, on a purely offensive team, you would at least hope for these guys to want to play defense. But I'm sorry, when you have KD talking in Twitter spaces about, and then even directly tweeting, offense wins championships, I think we know the kind of guy Bradley Beal is going to be. And then Devin Booker's never been that fantastic of a defender. It's just unfortunate. Vogel is going to be a damn good coach on the market again. The second time he's been gaslit by star players, in my personal opinion. I don't think he's coming back to L.A. before y'all start thinking I'm trying to connect those dots. I don't think he's coming back to L.A., but, man, that's a hell of a coach out there, bro.
Damo, you.
What's up?
Me or you? You want to go? Me or you?
Hey, you know what? I've yapped enough. Floor is yours, gang.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I know you want to go, so I'm going to shut
the fuck up. I didn't know that the owner of the sons, that Matt guy was a former basketball player. They're going to be screwed for a long time. Listen, it was never Russell Westbrook. I had that comment a minute ago when James was saying the things about Daryl Morey and the KD stuff. It was never Russell Westbrook. So here we are again, another failed season from one of the three out the trio back in the OKC days. Russ is doing whatever he needs to do in order to win. Again, I'm going to come off the bench. Da, 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 da. James is playing cool. He's playing pretty good over there in the Clippers. But here we have Kevin Durant finding every which way to point fingers and place blame on anybody else. Talk about the failed issues at the end of the season, all that stuff. We saw you play, buddy. We saw you. It's okay. I know a lot of the box score people are going to say, but this, that, and the third. He is not the same player as he once was.
That's all I'm trying to say to him.
He's not the player that he once was. Okay? And instead of accepting that and being somebody different, approaching teams different, doing things differently, it's everyone else's fault. Now it's Frank Vogel. Now it's Frank. And B-Souls hit the nail on the head with the tweet. You know, we've got to stop. We've player empowerment has gone too far. I don't know when we've got to the point where the coach is the immediate one. We have got to stop. It was never Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant, you are not him. You've never been him. You need to go back and be with your ex. Sometimes you got to get back with your ex. Apologize to Steph. Apologize to Draymond. Make up however you need to make up. But go back to where you came from. It was never Russell Westbrook. Bradley Beal. I knew you were a loser. I did not know you were a lame. I knew you were a loser. I did not know you were a lame. That Frank Vogel shit, after you just came from Washington, D.C., playing with the Washington Wizards, having never been a winner, because I think even the times that you've been in the playoffs, it's been with a sub-500 record.
We right? cooked y'all in the second round.
You know, 29-53, 44-38, okay, there's one, 46-36, 41-41, 49-33, that's when they got cooked in the second round, 43-39. You've always been a loser, 32-50 with you on the roster over in Washington, 25-47, 34-38. You've always been a loser. And you have the opportunity to play meaningful basketball. And you slapping the coach's hand? Ooh. Ooh, you so stinky. Oh, you so ass. And last but certainly not least for me on this matter, D-Book, you got your chain snatched, buddy. And take that shooting guard title right out of them weak-ass hands.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Them weak mitts you got, buddy.
Take the shoe deal away, bro. D-Books, man. Come on, dude.
Dang. They try for so long with you. And to be the best shooting guard in the league, I'm not going to lie, it is an easy bar to clear. Yet you let Ant Edwards come in and take it. Again, you might have played okay. I really don't care about that. I'm just talking about your horizons. Give it up. Phoenix don't got no good intentions for you, my guy. They don't. I know you can be the man. It's pretty chill over there. But it is time for you to get a fresh start, and if you're not looking for that, that also tells me about who you are.
So, go ahead, Dom. I got a question
to ask. I just wanted to add, talking about D-Book, listen, I'm all for smoking a D-Book pack. Hey, I got a little bit right here left over. I just want to add context. It was Jalen McDaniels guarding that nigga. And it's one thing if D-Book went out there and he was just D-Book went out there and he was just missing shit. He looked ass. He definitely missed. He definitely missed some shots. Cool. But Jalen McDaniels, I don't want to make this, D-Book you ass, as much as I want to say, as much as it, yo, Jay McDaniels, you're a god. Oh my god. If that's what niggas have to look forward to in this playoffs, if you're a scoring guard, that's what you have to deal with. You gotta work four games. 90, as Omar said famously, 94 feet of pressure. 48 minutes, 94 feet of 6'9", 6'10", all mobile, jumping every screen, and he's giving you 20. There's no treat him like Roberson. That nigga is to the rim. He is hitting shots. It is not a game. That nigga's that boy good. That's all I'm gonna say.
A big part of this is just also just, hey, you lost to a better team too. I ain't gonna lie. But.
No, and I get that, and that kind of leads me into another point of the conversation, because you know you got to talk about where we go from here. The way that these teams, and I would include the Lakers in this, but we'll drag them in here later. The way that people build teams is just so flawed. Bezos talked about it a little bit earlier. It's not 1-3. It's not 1-4 anymore. There are teams in your conference that have a 1-6. A 1-9, a 1-8, like there's teams that are building out real teams. You guys trying to skip the process doesn't make any sense. I keep saying this. This is supposed to be the most talent the league has ever seen. Yet y'all guys cannot find competent pieces to play around y'all superstars. That's a you problem. That's a you problem.
Yeah, and I think what's so funny and fucked up about this conversation, and I know there's might be some takes that myself or any of my co-hosts maybe have objectively wrong here, but what's going to be frustrating is any person that's defending the players here, all they're going to do Basketball Reference, playoff stats, and they'll see numbers like the following. Bradley Beal, 16 points on 44-43 from 3 on 6 attempts. Devin Booker, 27.5 on 49. That's just good right there. Kevin Durant, 26 on 52, 55, 41. And they're going to see these things, and it's just going to be like, oh, what are you talking about? They just lost just because, I don't know, Zibes, but all three were excellent. They did the right thing. Nothing was wrong except the coaches and GM. But those three can do it possible, blah, blah, blah. And I just think it's just sad how, like, whether it's raw stats or, like, player – not empowerment, but like biased from fans. You're really blind motherfuckers on how teams need to be constructed and how much morale even matters. The idea that, like, even we said this from when it happened, Souls. The idea that you guys saw this and then saw no defense on the roster and was like, oh yeah, they're gonna cook. It was so unbelievably nasty. And we had to sit there and wait for a team that unironically, if the Suns were supposed to cook, the T-Wolves were supposed to be trash. The only hooper is Ant, according to this specific logic. The only hooper on the T-Wolves would be Anthony Edwards. The idea that they got swept by this team should be damning to all the hoop kid, B-ball reference, eye test takes that go across the realm. I know KD's going to be king of efficiency until he retires. I know that Devin Booker is probably always going to average 27 in the playoffs. And even Bradley Beal's going to get away with this playoff series as time moves on. And they're going to say, that's not that bad. But, dog, y'all got to learn how to play some fucking defense, bro. I'm keeping it a bean. We got to be more responsible on how we view players in series outside of just Basketball Reference and stats. We're watching these games. These niggas can't guard chairs. They can't. They can't guard chairs, bro. And they literally had to go to a point where they're daring Jaden McDaniels to shoot shots that Jaden McDaniels can just make. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
It wasn't even that. They couldn't grab boards, because even if Minnesota made a mistake, bro, they were winning the rebounding matchup by like 15 a game on average. They had like 10 more offensive rebounds per game. So, yeah, that is when you're facing an all-time great defense and a subpar offense, but the rebounding battle is so big to the point where, hey, man, per possession, their offense might not be efficient, but they have so many possessions to take a stab at a bucket. That's how you get the series that you got. And their top two rebounders being Nurkic and 35-year-old KD, the backbone of their defense being Nurkic and 35, 36-year-old KD. I understand KD actually overachieved defensively for a lot of this regular season. But still, when we're talking about winning championships, which is what this team was built for, which is why they got Bradley Beal, that was never a recipe for success. Like, what is that?
But what's the next step? What's the
for the Phoenix Suns? At this point, first of all, Beal has to go. Regardless who you bring in, regardless what coach, Bradley Beal has to go. He was injury riddled throughout the entirety of the season. And then he's just not producing enough for you. You need a guy that can facilitate the ball and or
play defense.
Either way, it's unnecessary for Bradley Beal and Devin Booker to be a backcourt. If we can't agree on that, okay, go lose in the first round again. I still think – oh, shoot. Sorry, allergies, man. She's just a bitch. I still think that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker – damn. Fuck. I still think that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker – they can play together. I think blowing it up is always going to be idealistic for everybody watching, but realistically, you're probably going to be loyal to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. I do think that's a duo that if you get defensive pieces around them that can work, somebody got to move the ball. The D-Book playmaking experiment is over as well. That's not even a slanderous thing because he averaged fucking 27 points. Devin Booker's still a damn good player. It's just, bro, you want Devin Booker to put the ball in the basket, and that's fine. He could be a secondary playmaker for your team, but primary playmaker, no reason. You're doing way too much. Last but not least, Kevin Durant. If Kevin Durant wants more ISOs, you already done paid him. That'll lead into my hot take. But, yeah, you already done paid KD. You can have a system where Kevin Durant gets more isolations as well. Get a couple of
off-ball talents.
And do the boring shit. You know how, like, the Steelers, somebody in chat asked me, how did the Steelers draft grade? What would you give the Steelers draft grade? I'd give that shit an A. We were boring as fuck. We got blockers. Yeah, go out there and get some defenders. Get some rebounders. Get some standstill shooters. I don't want no more bag talking, Phoenix. But I don't think they need to necessarily blow it up. They could always blow it up, but it's kind of just like a fuck situation. I think you're better off taking a shot of building around KD and D-Book than nuking it.
I think the draft situation is terrible too.
Yeah. Awful.
Everything about Phoenix is awful. Let's be honest.
That's kind of why I think you keep them. I know some people are going to say get the picks. Nah, I don't think you can.
Is the question what they should do or what they're going to do?
Oh, I think that's what they should do. What they're going to do?
Going to do is run it back. I mean, I don't.
Thank you. I'm
going to
say
yeah, what yeah. What they're going to do is run it back. I think in their head, they're thinking, hey, man, this is just year one. We don't have to panic, man. We don't even give this big three a fair shot. They're about to run it back next year. I do think they're going to try to get a point guard at the very least.
They're going to get a point guard and a defensive mind.
Yeah, if they don't get better next year, I think these exact conversations right now, we're about to have 365 days from now. These exact same ones.
This is my problem with what they're going to do. They're going to get a point guard and a defensive-minded big, and someone's going to say, see, they got one. The problem is that defensive-minded big and or point guard could be a significantly better player. But they're hoeing themselves because of the cap that they're paying. Someone brought up Bradley Beal's NTC. Good point. They're probably fucked. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I would just say when it comes to Phoenix, yeah, most likely they're going to do is run it back, but I just want to remind everybody what people were saying about this team going into the season. Outside of the hype beast thinking they were a super team, they were going to win. Anybody with common sense said, year one, they're not going to win. They looked at how this roster was constructed. They understood what the problems were. Then they said, realistically, as long as they're healthy, they should be competitive. But what they do in the offseason to tool up this team, next year will be when they strike. So them running it back, it makes sense. A lot of people felt they were running back. Now, with Bradley Beal getting hurt in the beginning of the season, then coming back whenever he did, without them playing a full season together, it leaves a lot of things in the air. And because of the fact they don't have no future, they're definitely going to have to run it back. I'm not as down on them as everybody else. I think these are, in my opinion, it's very easy fixes you make with this team because this is a dangerous team for the most part. It's just simple fixes. Very easy, quick fixes I think they can make. And I think they'll make them in offseason.
I don't like that backcourt still though. I don't think that's a winning recipe.
That would be their backcourt. They're gonna the thing that they're gonna do, which will be the question mark, D-Book at the three or Bradley Beal at the three.
That's what worse to me. I'm not gonna lie.
You don't know who you're playing. It's matchup based. Honestly, it's matchup based, but depending on who you play, going into next year, some guys aren't gonna be able to play.
It's hella buckets for sure. But man, like, I'm not even expecting underrated defense from, what is it, 36-year-old Kevin Durant? I'm not expecting underrated defense there. I don't want him. I don't even expect him to guard fours and to rebound like that and all that shit. If he can, that's fantastic, KD. But I don't expect that at all. Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, we know what they are defensively. You'd have to get damn good. Not even just, oh, he can play defense. You have to get damn good defenders out there with them three on the court. You got to get damn good defenders. And I don't think
thing. With Kevin Durant, these last couple of years in his career, ever since really leaving Golden State, he's been playing the four. He's been a power forward these years. Why he's been injured and everything like that. He's been
a defensive lens, not can he play.
And I will say from a defensive lens, Kevin Durant he's genuinely been a pretty good goddamn defender. I'm not gonna lie, like Kevin Durant, his defense has been underrated in terms of what the expectation was in general, and especially for this team, it's not a high bar to be the best defender. But Kevin Durant's defense is.
Yeah, he's been good. It's just not anchor level. Like,
it's just not going to be able to carry a team with no defense. He's not Rudy Gobert playing on the Jazz. Like, he's not that. He's Kevin Durant. But Kevin Durant's defense is pretty cool. What you would have to do, I do agree, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, that's not ideal for your defense. It's about getting the tools off the bench, that 7, 8, 9 guy that are perimeter defenders or a big defender, too, switchable guy, however you got to do it. And about creating different lineups for different matchups and be able to manage it like that. Going into next year for this team, you're going to be running a lot of two-man lineups, and it's going to be a lot of staggering minutes. You shouldn't play all three of these niggas together. Realistically, all three of them shouldn't be on the court a lot of the time. Situationally, if niggas is going small, cool. But against the T-Wolves, you shouldn't have those three on the court together. You just shouldn't.
I think they have acquisitions that they can make to get better. But the question with this team is always, are these things that they can do to improve going to be enough to actually win the whole thing? Because, yeah, they can get better as a team, but if they run into Denver, are they about to get beat in 5? If they run into Minnesota again, are they about to lose in 6? Yeah. Then at that point, I feel you. Yeah, they got better, but what's the point at that point? I don't know. Maybe that's too, like, nothing matters type of take, but...
No, especially for me, and we can wrap it. For me, their goal at their age is to win championships. I know Devin Booker is a little bit younger than these guys, but their goals at their age is to win NBA championships, especially Kevin Durant. So if we're not making moves or decisions that are putting us squarely in line with winning a championship, then what are we doing here? I don't need to be on teams where we're loading up on superstar talents and not building out 1 through 6, 7, 8. I need to be on teams who are looking out for me and can win me championships. That doesn't come through just putting a bunch of names on a roster. It comes through building a team. I'm ready to get my hot take of the week.
Come on. Hot take as well.
It's not really hot. It's not really a take. It is more of an observation. I'm so sick of these players, these new age players. I can see why a lot of people are dropping off from the NBA. We used to laugh at the old heads. We did. But I see it now. I see it. We just saw the Frank Vogel Bradley Beal slapped the hand. We saw how they treated him afterwards. We're sitting here in real time watching D'Angelo Russell. Although this isn't a phone, I know the clip wants to make it a phone.
Yeah, this is
in game huddle going on. He's off to the side eating a candy bar. I mean, even the street clothes guys are paying attention. And now, mind you, this is the same guy who's been crying all year about Dennis Schroeder and Darvin Ham and the relationship and the play time and this, that, and the third. And here you are come playoff time doing things like this. Him, Joel Embiid, Bradley Beal, We can even talk about Luka. We can talk about LeBron. I'm tired of the throwing. I am tired of the new age player. Something has to change. I don't know what it is, but I can't. I am tired of this.
Tired. You don't think this has always existed, though, or is it just more elevated now? Like, there's more examples of it.
I think it's definitely more examples and more elevated. I think player empowerment has gotten a long way, and I don't think that people are checking people in a way that they used to do it. I don't know if that's because of the older leadership, or I don't know what it is. But D'Angelo Russell's he's not in a position or place to do some of the things that he did this year. In a different era, he could not get away with that.
Go ahead.
Can I just ask, what about LeBron are you saying in terms of the shit he's doing that
just came I am getting tired of the hand throwing up in the air shit after every play. It takes him out of place.
Okay. Go ahead, Sage.
I definitely think it's evolved, or it's a different issue, because they're younger. They're simply younger superstars doing it. There are rookies doing these kind of things. There are sophomores doing these kind of things. It's always happened with superstars, for sure. Kobe quit. LeBron has definitely had his moments of not playing defense, all of these things. But like Jonathan Kuminga, I know we forgot about that story, but like that was crazy. D'Angelo Russell for the past 2 years, low-key. Like, a lot of these situations that are going on with sophomore, junior, rookie players, even, or just players that really have, and it's gonna sound disrespectful because they're like millionaires who way better than me, blah blah blah, but some players that really just have no business doing this shit. Like, really, the sixth man, the seventh man on the team, the defender, like it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy. So no, I definitely think it's a problem for sure.
I hate the day that I'm going to be able to hear, I'm trying to think of who the eighth man on Detroit is, but the eighth man on the Detroit Pistons bench after winning only 12 games this season, talk about playing time.
Damn. Yeah. And it's, someone made a joke about it, or at least hopefully it was a joke, but yeah, it's unfortunate that this conversation is going to get real nasty, because all someone has to flip it and turn this into a, you want everybody to shut up and dribble, don't speak in the workplace, thing like that. But it's a fair medium between not having any voices in the workplace and trying to control the workplace. I promise you, there's a fantastic medium that is not being met right now, especially when it's players that have just come into your league, haven't earned any stripes in the league, making these plays and things like that. I'm going to be blunt. If it was all LeBron doing the shit, Curry doing the shit, hey, that's tough. And that kind of gets to my hot take. But, yo, if Derek White was doing this to the Celtics, nigga, come on now, bro. Like, Derek White's a fantastic player, but come on now, bro.
Well, shit, trickle into your hot take.
Oh, shit. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 2024. We are all about progression. We are all about evolution. We are all about change. So it's time to change the definition of a super team. Ladies and gentlemen, the super team definition is grandfathered to hell. This three all-stars equals boom super team. It's not cooking, gangy. And to be honest, in certain lights, it never was. What I mean by never was when you had three all-stars, three superstars, or whatever, they complemented each other, and we called it a super team. Nowadays, three scorer super team, three defender super team, three ball handler super team, anything like that, or just three 85 overalls in 2K super team. I don't think that definition is valid anymore, because I think depth is easily the most valuable it's ever been. I think if we disagree on that, damn. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Damn, bro. I think depth matters way more than it ever has. Star players don't just solo you the fuck out of there. Case in point, Anthony Edwards this year. We just got done talking about the Suns. Anthony Edwards coming into the series. Did you have him best shooting guard? Maybe. I know most of you guys still had Kevin Durant. Bradley Beal wasn't no scrub either way. And for sure, overnight, not only did Anthony Edwards just straight up outplay everybody on the fucking court, But even if you don't think he was the best player on the court, his team was that much better. So I think depth matters. I think the idea of the super team needs to change. And most importantly, and maybe this is like two takes in one versus all being in one take, but I think you only accomplish these new gen super teams, whatever that definition is, I'll leave the calls to that. But you don't accomplish that if the player is your franchise. That era is dead too. The era of, hey man, we live and die by, let's say Anthony Edwards, for example. Anthony Edwards should have some say, without a shadow of a doubt. But Anthony Edwards shouldn't be able to be like, bro, I want like three ball handlers on this team now, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I'm an only scorer. I don't want anybody else that can average 10 points a game on the team. That era got stopped too, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Like, hey, you a GM? Do your damn job. Because a lot of you are starting to, a lot of GMs are starting to piss me off because they're low-key able to frame these players as the puppeteer and shit. And maybe that's true, but they're letting them do it. Dog, do your damn job. Tell whoever that player is, hey, thank you for your opinion. We gonna do this that way. Don't you start bitching about it. And let's see what happens.
It's the Lakers' problem right now.
What was your previous definition of a super team? Because I don't think we've ever truly established.
My definition of a super team is vastly different. But I'm saying most people's super team was just simply put three all-stars. Three, four all-stars, mm-hmm. no matter what, instant super team. And I think that's been heavily backed up with a lot of the recent teams as well.
The super team conversation to me has always been relative to the era. Because like what a super – like what you just said. What a super team for years now at this point. What a super team now is not what it was 10 years ago, what it not was in the 90s. So I feel you. I feel you. I agree.
Oh, Damo.
There you go. Mine's might be completely mild, man. I don't got a good one for us this week, fellas. On the timeline, NFL draft, you know, the usual conversation. Buddy gets drafted. Don't know who he is. He's going to the Jets, so fuck him, to be honest. But he got drafted. He went to Penn State. Penn State posted this. Apparently, he's Nigerian. And I seen the caption saying he should feel ashamed of himself for having all them white folks in his Nigerian household. Then a conversation arose of black men dating who everyone perceived to be his girlfriend, which, I mean, it kind of, she is at least close to the family. Black men choosing white women once they go pro. I won the TL, simply. Y'all get mad at niggas for dating white women when they go to majority white schools. I just don't see a problem. And before anyone asks, Damo, do you know if Penn State is a majority white school? That's a good question. I went and typed in Penn State, yes. Yeah. Hey, Souls, trust me. I typed it in. I looked it up. I did the research. These are the numbers. Just so you know, this is from 2022. This one is, I believe it was from 23. Thought I read it in there somewhere or somewhere. Shout out for, I got you. In 2022, it breaks down essentially to a white demographic of 62.73% white. And in 2023, 63.4% white, 7% Hispanic or Latino, 6% Asian, 5% black or African American. I understand the conversation you want to have on, oh, if you want a black woman, you're going to find a black woman. I feel you. But if these niggas are choosing to go to 60, 70, 80% majority white, I don't think they're looking for a soul sister. I don't think they're trying to bring a black woman home to mama. I think they made their choice well before, gang. I promise you, I think they made their choice. And his niggas' preferences. And I'm blurry. Okay. And his niggas' preferences. Leave people alone. Stop being so mad. Touch grass. Who are you dating? Goddamn. Why are you worried about what someone else's dick or vagina is doing? Worry about your dick or vagina. Jesus. You're not using it.
To be fair, for the devil's advocates, to be fair, I don't know if it's necessarily them going to these schools because the girls is snowing over there. It's the HBCU notoriety for collegiate football in terms of getting drafted. It's there, but it's easier to get, you know, drafted if you go to Alabama or some shit like that. It's just how it is. But In terms of your take in general, I mean, you know, I'm not necessarily against anything like that. I think it gets crazy, and I hate the conversation when they go to the other end and be like, well, who the fuck would want to date a drug dealer and shit like that? That shit always will piss me off, especially as a black man. So these conversations are just kind of cringe all the time. I just say, hey, like what you like, just don't get finessed, gang. Whether it's whether the woman white, black, or whatever the fuck, man, just be smart. And if most of the time they end up being little bunnies or whatever, hey, hope you're not getting scammed, gang. Good luck.
I'm surprised it was 60%.
You thought I'd be more?
I thought it'd be higher.
Yeah, I did too.
I'd be closer to
like 75.
You know, I had a homeboy that played football at Morehead State. Morehead State is like 90 something percent, like top 3 to 5 white public schools in the nation. The only thing I will say, they don't. I'm glad they don't allow. Well, really, they don't need to have the girlfriends on the couch at all. But I'm glad the mom was in the middle of the girlfriend.
She needed to get drafted.
Yeah, y'all, the ones that be in there thinking that they got drafted and making the whole thing, I can only think of the Russell Wilson thing for...
They got a prom dress on, too.
For her to not be...
Sitting on his lap in front of him. Damn.
Like, come on, gang. I know you grown or whatever, but... We ain't going out like that. So your little friend can be on the couch. Really, she should have been a little farther away. Don't be reaching over me to touch my son. But that's, you know, if I had a child that was getting drafted, the significant other isn't on the couch. I'll say that.
I'm about to say, can I ask, y'all have a child that's getting drafted, male or female, doesn't matter. Is their significant other even allowed on the couch? Damn, next one. Are they allowed on the couch?
Fam, coach's best friend. With a significant other, hey, you just stand up in the background or whatever. One, I ain't got time for this conversation to be a thing, to be honest with you. I don't want any your moment to be taken away. And granted, we won't care. We'll be so locked in. But I don't want your moment being taken away because, oh, my God, girl hugging on you, da, da, da. Nigga, nah, this is just about the family, everybody you've been with this shit. Now, if you've been with your girl for like 10 years, maybe – Yes, that'll be a
as a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I'm saying like
damn, I was saying, if that's damn, your fifth grade girlfriend,
middle school sweetheart. Then I guess
hey, family on the couch. At that point, I ain't gonna lie. She fed you dinners at this point. Like
she is definitely family, but if it's like a year to a year relationship, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if it's just a girl you started dating, like I don't know, like a week or two ago, you can stand behind the couch. How about that? All right, just on it.
Behind the couch.
Nah, bro. But again, if it's like a 3-4 year relationship now at this point, and depending on maybe two, depending on how close we got in those 2 years, but anything less than two.
WNBA draft. I'm just gonna say, none of the boyfriends was at the table, and that's the way to do it.
Nah, that's an all girl party.
All the daddies was up there. The brothers was up there. None of the boy. And I know a lot of them girls got boyfriends. None of the boyfriends at the table. That's the way to do it.
Unfortunate.
That's funny as hell.
Unfortunate. B-Souls.
Ooh, I already had mine with the Frank Vogel shit. I ain't gonna lie.
Nah,
do I have another one in the tuck? We'll see. Let's keep going. I don't got one right now, dog. I'm not forcing it.
Well, I think of one when you move on to this next topic. Oh! Find out.
There Lakers it pushing it to 7.
Leave me alone.
Yeah. Oh, Lakers pushing it to 7.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Hot take. See? They're getting heated over it. Lakers pushing it to 7. I believe in y'all. If y'all don't believe in the Lakers, I believe in the Lakers. We're defeating Dark Magic Hoops tonight. We're sending it back to crypto.
I ain't gonna leave you because I like it, but I'm with Sage, man. Fuck you. I ain't gonna lie.
This is crazy. What the fuck?
No. I'm not watching the game.
You think I'm trying to jinx it? I'm not even trying to jinx it.
Hey, Jamo, what's death? Facts? Hey, Q&A of hell, I guess. I'm not watching not a single dribble.
I'm about to get off of here. I'm about to put my daughter to bed. I'm about to go play fucking 2K Fallout and Call of Duty, nigga. I'm not watching the game, bro.
Bullshit. Me alone.
This is crazy.
Before we get out of here, we got a shit on Skip.
How Skip doing?
Did you see the clip of a Keyshawn Johnson today?
That's what we're about to talk about, man.
Okay, okay.
I heard about
what I told Sage earlier.
Yeah.
I am in the ignorant right now. Crazy.
So the viewership numbers came out. And you know what's crazy? I don't know if anybody's seen the viewership for the numbers on the board yet for when they were on ESPN, but the viewership numbers came out. This is Thursday, 4:25. Sports viewership. NFL draft dominates, plus numbers on the board for numbers on the board for the NBA.
For the NBA.
Yeah, I might say, well, I want them to win so bad.
I thought Kenny was him.
I want them to win so
bad.
He
still is.
And the biggest takeaway from this is on the morning of the NFL draft and Lakers playoff game, the FS1 talk show Undisputed averaged 45,000 viewers. It is the second smallest audience since returning from their hiatus last fall. Damn. And a lot of people have to wonder and guess and, you know, kind of speculate as to how they got there. But I think that this is just a great example as to how/why they are in the position they are in.
With about 2 minutes to go Saturday, Namal Murray came down a little funky and he somehow strained his calf on his left foot.
Third calf strain of this playoff.
Yep. And they are listing him as questionable tonight. Okay. Is it possible that he's a little gimpy on it, that he's not trusting it, that it's going to bother him tonight? Is that possible?
Even if
you said good like three times?
Good like three times and then a yay. A loud yay.
Yelled yay is crazy.
Yelled yay. That was Keyshawn Johnson.
I didn't want to talk about this team. I know. Clip, Sage, fuck y'all. But here's the one time I'll talk about the Lakers this week. Dog, that's sick. For those who don't know the context, that was pretty much just moon fed to you. Jamal Murray's out. A lot of people were like, oh, y'all might win today. See, watch the game. No. Not watching the game. Still hopeless. Most importantly, I'm not about to sit there and be like, fucking bet Jamal Murray's out. Dog, who even wants to win that way? One, but two, he's, I don't know, a human. Just for thought. And you're an athlete, dog. In fact, you played a more physical sport, dog. You know what it's like to be injured. That's not cool, bro. Like, nah, that's whack. That's just lame.
Hey, the beginning to the end. I really want those numbers put on the board. But as soon as we get those.
Oh, Murray playing? Nice.
I think that would very much tell us the direction of this. Skip and them have been struggling for so long. It doesn't even seem like struggling anymore. It seems just like normality. Yeah, it's just the norm. So we're just waiting for them any day now to completely fall off and die.
Skip is the content creator who just did not niche out, dog. We're not even asking you to niche out in terms of like, oh, leave sports. Just niche out within sports. What other, like, there's literally no appeal to watching Skip now outside of LeBron, shitting on LeBron, and that's old at this point. Dallas Cowboy shit, but apparently even after the NFL draft, no one cares what Skip has to say. Yeah, bro.
I'm telling you, I know exactly when the fall off really is going to happen.
Red pill Skip.
That first time? No. That first time he does... That first LeBron segment he does halfway through the season when LeBron's not even playing, oh, yeah. That's what's going to wake everybody up to like, all right, this nigga's cooked. That one, LeBron James tweeted out, what a shot from Julius Randle. To spell Randle wrong because he sent in a message. Of course he's doing it. This is why he's not better than Jordan. Like, all right, bro, get this nigga off the airwaves.
Not tampering claims. Sorry, bro.
Get this nigga the fuck out of here.
Skip on Fresh and Fit might be the turning point, bro. That would be so fun. Skip Bayless.
Yeah, hey, I think I'll even be like the boo Sage boo here. I think Skip probably still will find work in media, but yeah, you gotta rebrand that gang. It's a dead horse.
It's time passed, bro.
Yeah.
How old is he? Like literally 80?
That nigga about to start the most fire podcast ever. Watch.
He is past retirement age.
I tell you what, though.
You fucked up your investment so bad. Like, dude, it is time to sit down.
He could also retire.
Yeah.
He's 72. He's 72.
He's 72. He can retire. Yeah, he's
past retirement age.
I'm tripping. He'll retire.
Skip, I'll tell you what. We got a place for you. We got a place for you. You can come and be a part of the Let's Keep It A Buck podcast. I will extend that grace to you. Thank you. You have your own little power hour. Just take what we do Mondays and Thursdays. You take Tuesdays and Wednesdays, buddy.
I think after what y'all said, that bridge is burned, but
He gonna need work soon, Sage.
Oh my
God. He's gonna be working on burnt bridges.
Yeah, people don't realize a burnt bridge can be rebuilt. This is not Baltimore, gang.
oh wow.
Not funny, oh, man.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh man.
That's crazy.
I'm just letting y'all know, like, dead ass.
Okay, and that's been Let's Keep It A Buck.
And we won't back down.
Yo, can we adopt that? Oh,
no Lil Wayne intros. I'm sorry.
I didn't pivot too. Talk
here
about
go.
Another guy who didn't pivot.
That
right?
I tried. I saw the comment. Damn.
L pivot.
That's my boy. Ain't no Skip. I mean, ain't no Lil
Damn,
Wayne.
Damn, Chad. I tried to have y'all back,
bro. Let me go through these last things. This is I like this one. Explain it in NBA terms. Don't know if y'all have seen this. FaZe Clan recently has gone through a bunch of restructuring. Let go of some people, brought in some new big names and big faces with the Black Boy Maxes, the Your Rages, and all that stuff like that. We're gonna play a game. Explain it in NBA terms. How do you explain the phase collapse and the new signings of all these people in NBA terms?
They traded Kyrie. They traded Kyrie, and now it's like, signed. Well, I don't want to call these niggas D-Rose. I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Yeah, I'm about to say. It's kind of crazy. But the amount of acquisition and moving pieces, I would call it.
Like, it'd be like the Warriors blowing it up, trying to get Bradley Beal and...
I don't know that caliber
of players to retool type shit. That sounds hella dick suck, man. Yeah. My bad, y'all.
Because it's going to sound crazy no matter what you say.
I think there's an answer, but go ahead, Demo.
Oh, go ahead.
The Clippers, once they went away from the little grit and grind team they had, and it focused on star-centric players, and it went from just Paul George and Kawhi to then inevitably bring in Westbrook and Harden. And doubling down on the stars.
That's a good one.
Okay. I see that one, and I raise you when the Celtics finally got rid of old Paul Pierce, old Jason Terry, and old Kevin Garnett.
Got a bunch of picks.
Got a bunch
just
of
drafting picks. Now. That's all.
And JT and JB.
Yeah. And
are they going to win a chip?
But who knows? Move. I think that is my explain in NBA terms. All right, got another one.
That's a good one.
Candace Parker, like, 18-year career is over. I don't know how many years off the top of my head for real. But Candace Parker, one of the best women's basketball players of all time, three-time champion on three different teams, one of the better players, like the GOATs of the women's basketball game, the real CP3, I got it right here, three-time WNBA championship, WNBA Finals MVP, two-time WNBA MVP, a seven-time All-Star, All-Star MVP, seven-time first team, three-time second team, two-time All-Defensive Team, Rookie of the Year, All-Rookie Team, Defensive Player of the Year, Assist Leader, three-time Rebounding Leader, mind you, Rebounding Guard, all this other stuff, like one of the greatest. That doesn't talk about her. Two college championships, two tournament MVPs, Player of the Year, all that stuff. Finally retiring from the game of basketball after an extremely long time. First of all, round of applause for that. Let's give her a round of applause for that. What is that in NBA terms?
If Chris Paul was 6'6".
Did she win as a number one?
Yeah, for sure.
So not KD. Okay.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Kind of like a D-Wade retirement. You know what I'm saying? Something along those lines, maybe.
Someone for a first comment on what you said, dick suck.
No, he's a KD fan. We were talking before the stream started.
Oh my gosh. Hey.
I'm a still page out of Sage's book. You say CP3. What if CP3 is 6'6? I raise you. What if AI was 6'6?
Oh my God. I hate this nigga, bro. Comment below who's better.
I saw somebody say it down there, like Tim Duncan retiring, I guess. I don't know. One of the better players in WNBA history, basketball history, you know, legitimately a lot of people's goats today. Big guard.
Wasn't she held back by injuries too? Like she was dunking for a few
years. Injuries, yeah. Tore an ACL and then tore another ACL and the other knee or some shit like that. And then even this past year, she had some leg shit. This is all before like modern medicine, but she claims that she was like windmilling and back scratching and doing a bunch of crazy stuff between the legs before she got injured.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know.
That would have apparently set the WNBA to heights never returned if she was able to dunk.
Right. That's exactly what they say, Sage. So
I believe it.
No.
Damn.
She was good at basketball.
Oh no, I believe that she could dunk. Do I believe?
Yeah, W track back.
Yeah, yeah, I hate you, bro. You know it. You know how you phrase that. You.
Am I playing that clip things? Am I playing that clip? What's it called? Yeah, I know that was kind of crazy.
That's a tip.
He's had a crazy clip right there about Kobe Bryant's friend. Last one. Explain this in NBA terms. So I don't know if y'all saw Shalomi Sanders, Deion's daughter. So she had just recently entered the transfer portal from Colorado to go to a new school, right? And she claims that the only reason why she even went to Colorado and had to even walk onto the team is because Deion was a really restrictive parent, held her back from opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. Let me play this.
I have to say, stop talking about being a present parent.
This is her mother, by the way.
But like, can you at least act like you support me? You're weird.
Who supported if he is the one who thought about it?
So waking up to news of Shalomai's decision to enter the portal, and her dad saying that it's basically stupid, or the decision or whatever is stupid.
Shalomai enters the transfer portal.
Yeah, which was stupid.
Okay. A lot of people.
You don't enter the portal. You get a team. You kind of get a team before you enter the portal. You don't. That's what I would advise a child. And I know, well, it's illegal. Everybody knows somebody, knows somebody.
Yeah.
You kind of want them to do something, and she has been truly advised. No, you got to understand, I'm a father, man. I'm a real father. I'm a real man. I'm a real dad. Where I come from, and historically, kids follow their parents. When do parents start following the kids? And that don't work in my book. That don't work where I'm from. I'm the leader of the family. So I've been dictating where my kids go, not them dictating where I go. I'm happy. I'm cool. I'm signed.
Oh, my God.
It's
very disturbing. Because on all fronts, all the children, everyone in his life has, they've done nothing. And at times, at point of time, we've done nothing but support everything that he's done. I support my children in whatever they want to do. I support them having autonomy. I support them doing their own research and having their own drive and making decisions for themselves. So yes, if I saw, which I did, Shalomai do what she needed to do to enter the portal.
She goes on to say that Deion only cares about the boys, not necessarily her. She had to walk onto the team at Colorado in order to even make the team. and that, you know, she didn't really feel like she had a real recruiting process. She was just told to go to Jackson, and then she was basically told to go to Colorado, and then she just made a decision for herself. Explain that in NBA terms.
What you dumb fucks thought LaVar Ball was doing, Alonzo? It's like, nah. Let me see. For me, just if LeBron and Bronny's business was public, probably just some shit like that.
Yeah, LeBron giving Bronny way more attention than Bryce. Probably, I don't know. Everything about Bronny, huh? You just want to play with him.
And then Savannah and Bryce get on IG Live.
He is never home. He only cares about Bronny. That'd be crazy.
Bronny this, Bronny that.
You could have named him LeBron James Jr. and Bryce Bronny. Everyone would have been happy. He just got to be Bryce. Like, all right.
You always wanted every son named after you. Okay. LeBryce.
All right.
Say, just give him a lair or something. Like, come on, dude.
In NBA terms, what is this like?
I think they hit it on the head. I ain't gonna lie.
Honestly, yeah, you can't get no better than that.
That shit is funny.
Oh, no, I got one.
Okay, cook up.
LeBron leaving Miami, then D-Wade going on an interview. Yeah, he did not tell me he was leaving. I didn't know.
Oh, my.
I found out on the plane he was leaving. I didn't know. He just up and left.
I found out just like you guys. All
right. Y'all talk about it? No.
That's KD Russ, actually. Ain't that KD Russ then?
Yeah, it's KD
Russ. I was going to say KD Russ at first, but I thought I wanted to keep it Bron-centric. We had a theme.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Hey,
can I just add to that? Can I just add to that? That's crazy. One, to sit in the middle seat between two people and film that much.
Yo, shut up. No.
It's time. I'm just saying,
I'm sitting there watching the whole time. I'm like, yo, she is between two shoulders doing this whole spiel. One take. Like, this is crazy. That's crazy. Two, I'm completely on the daughter's side, unless this nigga Deion is out here paying for the school. If you ain't got a scholarship somewhere, or you know the money not coming from you, I'm not mad at that nigga being like, "All right, bet you want me to pay for the school so you can play ball? Bet you going where I go? You going where everybody else is going? The whole family here. If I'm paying for it, you go. Other than that, you shouldn't be dictating where your kids is going, man. Let that girl go play ball where she wants to go play ball, where she can play ball. I know you had a daughter on the California basketball girls team, a Colorado basketball girls team.
Yeah. She was she's not necessarily the greatest, so not trying to take that away from her. But
that's fine. I seen her shoot. I was like, yeah, this is. I don't see it.
Damn.
Yo, shit. Like even
I'm not
even,
trying to take that away from her. Shit, I will.
Even down at Jackson State, it's not like she could get a whole bunch of burns. So I like I'm. Hey, you know, do what you do. Make smart decisions. I feel like at a certain age, though, it becomes less about your parents. Stop looking to blame your parents and look at, like, you. You got to make the decision. So now that you made this decision, you know, you got to lay in this bed, and I hope you made it comfortable. Because if you didn't, I don't want to hear about it. I do not want to hear about how uncomfortable this bed is. Damn. Dummy.
Facts.
With that being said...
He's on fire.
This has been another episode, gentlemen, of the Let's Keep It a Buck Let's Keep It podcast. This is a great week of basketball. I'm excited for the playoffs. Excited to see if, you know, the Lakers lose tonight or tomorrow or yesterday, if you're hearing this tomorrow. Say goodbye to the people, though.
Peace out, y'all. Appreciate y'all for showing out. Shout out to the 530 in here. We had like 580 at one point. Yo, there's a lot of people on playback now. I don't know if the promo has been working. Y'all really want the full experience for free. But shout out to the playback.
Free!
So, yeah, man.
Damo, say goodbye to the people, man.
All right, Chaz, be my friend. Midnight Snack, and we will be back tomorrow because I ain't going to lie. I like that Fallout game. That game was pretty fucking fun, if I do say so myself. So I'm definitely going to be streaming tomorrow. If not tomorrow, definitely Wednesday. But, yeah, we're definitely going to be on stream. Be there. Also, I'll be on playback tomorrow. on Open Gym. Y'all should pull up and argue with me. Especially you, fuck nigga. I got smoke for you 24/7. And you know who I'm talking about, bitch. Damn. That's it. Y'all have a good day.
I can't even find this girl's high school stats. She's not good. Sage.
All right, y'all.
Playback, hey, we're not leaving, by the way. Go ahead, Sage.
Yeah, Playback, we're staying right here.
Yeah, Playback, we're still here. We're still here.
I'm not watching the game, but I'll be here. Playback, we'll be right here. What's it called? Really quick, Steelers had a good draft. I'm excited for that. I like football. I hate basketball. I wish I could change the brand, but I have to unfortunately die with basketball. So on my platform, I get to do other non-basketball things and talk about anime and play Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. It's fun everywhere else except the damn basketball court. Fuck basketball. Fuck real hoops. Fuck unauthentic hoops. Fuck unethical hoops. Fuck them all. I don't want any injuries. I just want the whole league to go away.
Yeah. Shalomi, I can't find any high school stats on you. That says a lot. Listen, man, we will see you next week. New videos on my channel every single day. There's a phase video out right now. But until next time, we will see you guys later. Take care. Stay blessed. Bye, guys.
Don't be blessed this time.
Bye.